Good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Law of Attraction, New Manifestation. For this episode, you know what it is. It's Tuesday, my friends. Tuesday Taoism is up. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. All right, everyone. So before we get into this, let me give you your two daily reminders slash announcements, especially important if you're new to the podcast. Number one is be sure to go onto YouTube and search for the Dreams Warp YouTube channel. It's two separate words. On that channel, you will see me there. That's my channel talking about law of attraction, reality transurfing, Zen Buddhism, Taoism, and modern psychology, all coming together to help you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, and just live an overall happier day-to-day life. Lots of awesome content on there. Be sure you check it out. Again, it's on YouTube called Dreams Warp, two separate words, and subscribe while you're there. Announcement number two is that if you enjoy this podcast, you find it adds a little value to your day, lifts your mood, raises your spirit, gives you new things to think about, then you can consider becoming a sponsor or supporter of the podcast. Just look for a link in the description. It'll be there regardless of the platform you're listening to it on. Just go to that link, sign up to contribute as little as $1 a month, cancel anytime. And again, it's just a nice way just so to show some appreciation, gratitude for the podcast. It is just a suggestion, never a requirement. And I do, again, want to express my thanks for those of you who have signed up already. Very, very appreciative. All right, guys, so we are on Tuesday again, and for those of you who are brand new to this podcast, I want to say welcome and let you know that every Tuesday, we read one chapter from the Tao Te Ching, very, very short chapters. They take about 30 seconds to a minute to read at most, and then some discussion is offered on the chapter. And if you want a little history background into what the Tao Te Ching is, you can always find the first of the series on this podcast, or you could look for a video on it on the YouTube channel, Dreams Warp, as I said, and you get a little background, but just real briefly, it's basically a book of ancient Chinese wisdom, and it was written back 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And at that time, or around that time, I should say, Buddhism had come from India to China, and it is believed that it was the combination of Buddhism of that day and Taoism that gave birth to Zen Buddhism, which is what I happen to practice. So I first discovered this book as a teenager, had a huge impact on my life. It just really, really, really explained a whole lot of things to me. And, you know, Wayne Dyer made a series on it a few years ago, kind of, you know, brought it back into circulation for a little bit. But it's just an amazing book full of tidbits of great wisdom. And I find it very helpful in law of attraction practice, especially when it comes to the area of diminishing resistance, getting into the flow state with the universe. That's something that Taoism is pretty much all about, is getting in the flow state with the universe. So I just find the wisdom found in this book to just be amazing for that purpose. So I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to share the love that I have for this book with anyone who wants to hear it. And that's what Tuesday Taoism is all about. Now, as I said, this book is ancient, and it's written originally in Chinese, ancient Chinese, so it's been translated hundreds if not thousands of times, and depending which translation you read, you get a very different interpretation, and I've read some translations that I wasn't too crazy about. So this one that I'm reading from for this series is translated by Stephen Mitchell. It happens to be my favorite translation, just really, really get a lot out of it, and today we are up to chapter 18. So we're going to read chapter 18, translated by Stephen Mitchell, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. And let's go ahead and get into this. All right, this is chapter 18, Tao Te Ching. Here we go. When the great Tao is forgotten, goodness and piety appear. When the body's intelligence declines, cleverness and knowledge step forth. when there is no peace in the family, filial piety begins. When the country falls into chaos, patriotism is born. That's the end right there of that chapter. Very, very short chapter. And I'd be honest, I reread it. Obviously, I've read this many times, but it's been about, I'd say, a year or two since I had picked it up and really read it. And this morning, I knew that I was going to be recording this, so I said, "Yeah, let me see what's coming up, you know, in the next chapter." And I read it, and I thought, wow, this is heavy duty, this one here. And it's very, I'm not even sure what the right word is. It's it points to something very profound, and even, I don't know, for me, slightly disturbing. But as usual, there is a profound truth in it. So let's jump in here and dissect this a little bit and see what comes out of this. So it all begins with that first line, when the great Tao is forgotten. So the Tao, for those of you, again, that are new, it's a word that there's no direct English equivalent. But the closest, I think, that comes to it is the idea of, which I mentioned a little bit ago, is the flow, the natural movement of the universe. There are earlier chapters where it's described in different ways. But one of the fundamental things to know is that you can never conceptualize the Tao. Your mind, the limited mind, cannot reduce it to a concept, like saying, "Oh, the Tao, I know what that is." It doesn't work like that. It's like the second you think you know what it is, you're already not talking about it, okay? Because the mind cannot really capture it. But it's basically, in a roundabout way, it's sort of like all the things that are manifested in this universe is part of the Tao. And then you also have to put in there all the source of all those manifestations, which is also considered the Tao. And then you have the interplay between the manifested and the unmanifested, and that movement back and forth is also considered part of the Tao. And then there is something that is beyond those three things that I just mentioned, something that, again, we cannot really fathom with our minds, but we can feel it within, and that's something I enjoy talking a lot about here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel, how there is an intelligence that seems to be beyond our minds that we can connect to through certain practices, and that's some of what Taoism is all about, and feeling from within that connection to source, which we also talk about in Law of Attraction. And how really our thinking mind is just a small part of our overall intelligence, which is the intelligence of the entire universe. So that's, I said a whole lot here, but basically what I wanted to get across is when he starts out with this line, he says, when the great Tao is forgotten, he's talking about disconnection from that source within, disconnection from your higher self, disconnection from that universal feeling of being one with everything. So he says, when the great Tao is forgotten, goodness and piety appear. What does that mean? Well, remember that according to the Tao Te Ching in this book, that everything that exists in duality is a misinterpretation created by the mind. So for goodness to appear, there has to be badness, right? And so when you make that distinction between goodness and badness, you are already splitting the original one, the original universal consciousness, into two. And that happens as a result of our existence, the way it currently is, and the way that our mind operates. It works in duality, right? Up, down, left, right, in, out. That's how we define our world. Everything is relative. You know, anything only exists as it is relative to something else. So goodness and piety appear when the deepest knowledge, the deepest connection to the universe is forgotten, meaning you need to understand what goodness is when you are not connected to source. Whereas when you're connected to source, you don't really need to know goodness, you just exude it. It's just automatic, meaning the knowledge of goodness is not necessary. So he says, when the great Tao is forgotten, goodness and piety appear. Now, piety, I'm going to come back to piety in just a little bit, actually, because there's another line about that a little later. So just pause that for a sec. Now he says, when the body's intelligence declines, cleverness and knowledge step forth. I love this particular line because, again, it points to the same thing. It just puts it in different words. He's basically saying, again, when your inner wisdom, your wisdom that is coming directly from source, which I do think comes more from the body, the connection, something beyond mind, when the body's intelligence declines, you need more cleverness, more, what's the word I'm looking for? More ability to reason, to think, to plan, to be logical, to outmaneuver with thinking. So you basically, what it's saying is that the more you are, again, disconnected from source intelligence, the more you need individual intelligence, cleverness, and knowledge. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with having knowledge. It's good to have knowledge. But again, what I think he is pointing to here is how there's a higher reliance on mental intelligence when there is disconnection from source. And then he goes on to say, and this is where the piety word comes back, when there's no peace in the family, filial piety begins. Now, again, as I've said a few times on this podcast, we need to put this book in its context. And this was written, again, 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And at that time, the other very kind of prominent type of philosophy in China was Confucianism. And Confucianism is very much, it stands a little bit in contrast to Taoism. So Taoism basically has this underlying belief that when you are connected to the flow of the universe, you don't really need to do anything. There's no action that needs to be taken. All action arises from natural flow of the universe, and you don't really need much of mental energy, much force, much control. And Confucianism is a little bit in the opposite of that. It talks very much about order, about, you know, devotion to elders and the structure for society to function. So it's basically in a way, it's kind of like saying that this particular chapter is saying that when you lose connection to your inner intelligence, to the part of you that you share with the universe, you suddenly need more social control, more order, more understanding, more cleverness, more piety, more of a learning of how I should function in this society, because there is no connection guiding you. So he says here, when there's no peace in the family, filial piety begins. And one of the main tenets of Confucianism is respect for elders and this sort of like structure of how a family should work. So the eldest is always, you know, making the decisions, and the younger ones are considered, you know, like lesser than. So there's a structure. And I think that that's what he is pointing to here in this chapter, is that when you don't have peace in the family, now you suddenly need a structure in order to manage that lack of peace. And finally, and this is a major clobber of a line here, when the country falls into chaos, patriotism is born. Now, that is a controversial one, and I guess it would strike people in different ways depending on the background and you know, beliefs that we grow up with. And I think, again, we have to put this in its context. And it is true that if everything is at peace and in order, not in order, if everything is at peace and everyone is connected to the Tao and everything is, then really there would be no chaos. And with no chaos, there's no need for a certain person or group to need to restore order, which is one way of looking at patriotism, is that there has to be a person or a group that is different than the others that is restoring something, order that was, you know, that someone is perceiving as being lost, as not being there. So again, this is very, very subtle things and distinctions that's being made in this chapter. But again, what it's pointing to repeatedly through all of these different lines is that when you are disconnect, when human beings are disconnected from their own innate universal intelligence, that ultimate reality of being one with everything, when that is lost, then you see that you need more cleverness, you need more order, you need more patriotism, you need more control, you need more action, you need more. And so that what is what the chapter, in my opinion, is pointing to repeatedly, right? So you think about this in your law of attraction practice, right? Is that when you are not strongly connected to source, you don't feel that inner happiness and joy and gratitude for just being alive, breathing, enjoying what your senses are reporting to you. You're not connected. You don't feel that inner joy of being alive within. Suddenly, your need to manifest something to make you happy becomes much stronger. There starts to become a clinging, a desperation of, oh my God, I have to have this. I have to have this. I'm going to practice this technique and that technique and this technique. And I need to stay positive and I need to do this and I need to do that. And there tends to, and of course, you do get some success using that sometimes, but you also get some resistance. You also get some, you know, mixed results. You may get delays in the manifestation coming, and that of course causes more resistance. So it does to me apply to my law of attraction practice, is that the more focused I am on letting go and allowing and being in the flow with the universe, then the importance of manifesting specific things comes down. It's not as vital. It's not as important. And paradoxically, as that happens, things become easier to manifest. And again, Taoism talks a lot about that paradox. So guys, I hope you found this information helpful. Again, it's just knowledge to share, stuff to think about. I hope that no one found this particular chapter to be upsetting or off-putting. You know, keep in mind that it's just, you know, when you hear these types of things, you take what you can use and you leave behind what you don't, what doesn't apply, or what you feel you cannot use. And that is that's the spirit in which this stuff is offered. So I just appreciate you listening. Be sure to tune in again for the next episode where we will be going back to general law of attraction topics, reality transurfing, psychology, all that kind of stuff. And again, make sure you go onto YouTube, check out the Dreams Warp channel. And I just want to thank you again. I'll talk to you in the very near future.